Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Many of you know, because you've come in recent weeks, that a couple Sundays ago was Pentecost Sunday. And some of you might not even know what Pentecost Sunday is, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. You know, some of you, I told you that I would talk about Pentecost Sunday. I would talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I would talk also about this thing that maybe you've heard about or not heard about or you're not sure about, but you'd sure be happy to have somebody talk about it. And even this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was confirmed that it happened through a physical sign, and the physical sign was speaking in tongues. I mean, how weird is that? You're like, whoa, you mean a preacher could say, like, that's weird? To my human thinking, yeah, it is. Listen, before we get going here, I want to make some introductory remarks. Do you know, and I know that this is live stream, and people can watch this and all of that. I'm probably going to walk off camera. I'm just letting you know. So you don't have to follow me wherever I go, okay? You could just have a blank shot of the pulpit, and they'll still hear my voice, okay? Camera Lady Bonita and Camera Control Deck Guy Justin? No, Wayne, her husband. There's a whole team of people up there, so... So it is okay. In live stream, I think, what's wrong with the camera person? Listen, I'm saying all this so that they know it's not your fault. I'm going to purposely probably walk out of where we would normally want to shoot this. The point is just information. Listen, you need to know, I'm conscious that it's a live stream and there's an audience out there that watches, but here's the deal. No offense to you at home. My mind's really not on you. This is about us in this room. Okay? Not to exclude you. We'd love for you to be here. So travel from Wyoming. Okay, so, or wherever you are. This is about, in the moment, right here, you and I. Okay? So I'm just letting you know that right from the start. We read the gospel. Have you ever considered what it would be like to go to church with Jesus? I mean, have you ever thought about that? You know, go to church with Jesus. I mean, we read it in the gospel. It wasn't like it was really a church service, but he would go and he would teach and he would speak and hello at home, I'm passing through. And, you know, and then, you know, stuff happens. You know, I will tell you that there would be way more pandemonium and noise in the services that Jesus does. I mean, we see it in the Gospels. A service breaks out in a home, and guys start tearing the roof off to drop in a paralytic guy on a stretcher or a gurney because they couldn't get through the crowd. And so they're ripping the roof off and dropping. I mean, do you know what kind of pandemonium and commotion that is? And sometimes we get just a little weirded out here in our culture if somebody during worship gets out and comes to the front to pray and worship or kneel down, or if somebody, you know, is raising their hands. And if you're visitors and never been in, you know, maybe a church or church like this or whatever, we're glad you're here. But I just want you to know, we want things to be meaningful. We want them to be personal. And cold and stoic has never produced that. Not that noise and pandemonium for the sake of pandemonium ever did anything good either. It's just that people were genuinely touched, ministered to, they found some purpose and meaning, and they broke out and cried. They kneeled down. They ran around because they couldn't run around before because they were, you know, disabled in some way. Or people shout hallelujah because they're tired of just yelling for the Packers. So I might as well yell at church. I mean, do you know what it was like going to a church service with Jesus on the hillside? Yeah, we walked a long way. I mean, there are two people here this morning that were in Illinois, got up, drove 5 or 6 hours just to make it to church here. Well, they're from here. It's not like every week they're going to commute. But they did that. And some of you drive 45, 50 minutes. Well, there was people who walked a long ways, and the disciples were all concerned, these people are going to be hungry. Physically, they're going to be hungry, and they're not going to make the walk back, and they're going to pass out and faint. Because some of them are in poor condition, like our pastor. I still haven't been back to the gym. I'm confessing my sin. I'll do like most of you, one of these days. Okay, anyhow, so, and Jesus says, well, bring the kid over with the sack lunch. And he feeds 4,000 on one occasion. He feeds 5,000 people. And there's more leftovers than the food he started with. Okay, how does that happen? That never happens at our house. Never, ever happens at our house. I wish it would sometimes happen at our house. Especially when I had 4 teenagers all at once in my house. There wasn't a thing called leftovers. Pigs. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. There was no truth in that whatsoever. I was not anointed when I said that. So, yeah, I mean, have you ever thought about, being in church where Jesus is or showed up? Well, I'm kind of hoping he shows up around here sometimes. And you might see some actions or things that, you're not used to, or your view of church or where you've been is kind of outside your culture, and maybe it's a little uncomfortable for you. Well, we're all uncomfortable with new things. We just are. We just are. It's just the way we are physically, mentally, until we start doing it and we understand it, and now it becomes this new pattern for us and this new culture for us. I mean, understand those who maybe been around this or grew up in this kind of church or style or whatever, if they were to go somewhere else, they would go, whoa, I didn't know churches did that or didn't do what we do or whatever. And everyone is different. Each church, it's not that one's better than another. We're all contributing. I'm just telling you that when Jesus showed up and had, I don't know, I'll just call them church services for the lack of a better term, just to make the connection, stuff happened. And he did things outside the laws of nature. What was natural. I mean, we're here, and whether we believe in God or we're not so sure, we all understand the concept that He is spirit. He is supernatural. He is not confined to the laws of nature that He created. He transcends that. It's part of why we call out to Him when we're broken, hurt, or desperate. We want Him to do something outside the regular repercussions of our brokenness, sin, or whatever it is we face. We want Him to do a miracle. We want Him to do the supernatural. The interesting thing is, if it's something that involves us, we would like Him to do the supernatural in a very natural way. It's just who we are. I want you to do the supernatural thing, but I don't want it to be a spectacle. I want you to do this supernatural miracle, but if no one could not notice. Not notice, could no one could not know, however that works. I don't want anyone to notice. Or I don't want to have to go to the front. Or I don't want to fall on the floor when someone prays for me, because that's, I'm not used to that, and that's weird. However, that person over there, they could probably use that. We want to see God do a miracle, but we want it to be natural. We want Him to do the supernatural, but we want it to be very dignified. going to church with Jesus was rarely dignified because he worked outside the laws of nature. The laws of nature or our laws of the culture are what we kind of, you know, the unwritten rules. In other words, how do we act in church? Spoke with someone this morning and, you know, look nice, all of that, but they usually dress up more than they dressed up. And they said, well, I didn't have any church clothes. Well, what are church clothes? See, I mean, we could go down this track. It's not that it was wrong, but in each of our minds, there's church clothes. I had to remind this person that around here, your jeans are church clothes. For some, it's a dress. For some, it's, you know, fancy big hat with a long feather. If that's the case, please sit in the back. People cannot see what's going on. You know, see, we have things made up, and they're not necessarily wrong, but we've fallen into this culture. And so when Jesus shows up and does something out of what we're used to or what we think is normal, whatever normal is, we have trouble with it. It makes us go, whoa, I don't know if I want to know Jesus more. I don't know if I want to go to that church anymore, or I don't know that I want to go to that church anymore, or I don't want to sit by that person, you know, because they spoke out during the service, and I don't know what they were saying, and then somebody else said they had the interpretation, and that's just, whoa. And here it is, all that stuff is actually in the Scripture. It's not some new thing, it's new to us, or maybe we didn't know it was this, and so we get panic, we get uncomfortable, and I just want to tell you, man, if we go to church with Jesus, who we're supposed to be coming for anyhow, things are going to be outside of sometimes what we call normal or our comfortable culture with whatever perspective we bring with us. It is okay. All right? I mean, after all, do we really want to just go out and be the same? I mean, is there any of us arrogant enough here to say, yeah, I don't need any change whatsoever? If you think that, I'm going to talk to the people you came with. And we will have a very lengthy intervention for you. No, we've got to be, so we got to get with Jesus, and we want him to do the miracle, we want him to do the supernatural, but we want him to do it in a very natural way. It just doesn't work like that. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, it doesn't work like that. Come on, do it. It doesn't work like that. So now that we got that cleared up, that we want to go to church with Jesus, and that the culture or our view of what's normal is going to have to change. And there, I will tell you, there are some things that you're going to scratch your head about. I've done it. And I haven't even seen it all. Listen, I have seen some extremely out there things. Some have happened in the United States. Some have happened in other places where I've traveled around the world and do outdoor crusades or pastor schools or conferences or whatever. I'm just telling you that his kingdom knows no boundaries. And these things happen. It's like going to church with Jesus. And if you want to go to church without Jesus, why are we going? To feel good about ourselves or to somehow feel righteous or prove to him that, well, I really believe in you, but don't show up. I mean, we don't consciously think through this stuff that we feel and, you know, have thoughts of sometimes. But when it's verbalized, we go, what was I thinking? I want to go to church without Jesus? I want him to do a miracle, but I don't want him to do anything crazy to me. Something out of the norm. That's what the supernatural is. Listen, if we were just locked into the laws of nature and that every action has an absolute repercussion and it can never be interrupted or changed, we are all doomed. We're all doomed. We needed him to do something very natural, going to a cross, with a very unnatural attitude because there was something greater that was going on in the spirit. And listen, you are made up of spirit. Body, I see it. Your soul, because I can sense your emotion or your sleepiness. And you are made up of spirit. Turn to the person next to you and say, yeah, you can clear your throat. You are made up of spirit. We are created in God's image. He is spirit. You are spirit. So here it is. We're going to go right to the day of Pentecost now. With all of this, you know, that was the long introduction. I'm going to church with Jesus, and there are things that he's going to do or have happened or may happen to me or in me or through me that are outside of what I usually call normal. Because we've climbed over the barrier now. I mean, we mentally climbed over the barrier. The experiential part is always, ooh, that's a little different. I mean, mentally I understand if Jesus is showing up and he's going to do something and supernatural, it's not going to be natural. It's not going to be within the confines of what is normal for me. My little life, insulated with, you know, my barriers of what makes me feel safe. Let me ask you, is there anywhere safer than to be right next to Jesus? I mean, is there a safer place? My walls and your walls that have been built through experience and hurt and prejudice and whatever else, and you think that's making you safe? I'm going to protect myself now. From now on, I'm going to... Do you know how much that hinders you and I? We don't want to let anything in. Guess what? Nothing's going out. See? Being with him, following him. And there are things that you will question and scratch your head about just like I do. I got to look back to the scripture and say, was that just weird because it was weird? Or was that weird to my sense of what is normal, but according to God's kingdom and what he writes and what will happen, is that the kind of stuff that's real? And that my normal needs to change to what is the new normal for me, which has always been the actual normal. Because he is, was, always will be, and created, and chose. It's him. So that's always been normal for him. So, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus now has been crucified, he's resurrected, but he hasn't ascended to the Father yet, okay? And he's having some closing remarks with his disciples. And, you know, you've heard this before. In fact, you heard it last week when Brock preached. He said, you know, these are some closing words of Jesus. And you're knowing that if these are your final moments on earth, you probably want to say something important, right? Right. Thank you for responding. Right? Hey! Okay. That was just really loud on somebody's computer at home. Okay. Acts 1:8. Jesus is saying this. He says, but you will receive power. Power, that's a good thing. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he said these things, he was lifted up and taken away, and he will return the same way. And you can continue. I want to encourage you to read through Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. Jesus says something very important. You, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, because I'm leaving, and he's sending the Holy Spirit. We know that because there's places where Jesus says that. I have to go so the Spirit will come. He says the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And when he does, he's going to give you power. Sounds good. To be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, Sparta, Wisconsin, and the surrounding area. I know you're not all from here. So, power. Well, how do we know when the Holy Spirit comes on us? I mean, what's the sign? I mean, we always look for proof, right? And God gives proof. He gives evidence. When something happens, we want to see, you know, the proof. You plant the seed, you want to see something grow. It's the proof that you planted the seed. It's not complicated. We want proof. Here's the thing. When you come to Christ, put faith in Christ, all of a sudden things change. Your outlook, your attitude, the way you make decisions, some of the things you say that you no longer say, or things that you do that you no longer do, all of those things are evidence that faith in Christ has taken place. And they show up over time that says, hey, they really are a follower of Jesus. Because I knew them before. And they said that they believed in Jesus. Excuse me. That they believe in Jesus. But, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, well, we'll see if it sticks. We'll see as time goes on. And all of a sudden, they notice you're not acting normal, what your normal used to be. Now you're saying, talking, acting a little different. Cleaner, better. An example, kinder, more loving, forgiving. All the things that God begins to do in our life. And they go, maybe they're really serious about this Jesus. Because there's proof now that they have faith. There's signs that something happened. Well, how did they know when the power of the Holy Spirit was going to come on them? Well, Jesus ascends, and the Holy Spirit comes. And if you go to Acts chapter 2, this is what happens now. Okay? Now, the person who wrote the book of Acts is Luke, one of the disciples. Do you know what Luke did? He was a doctor. He was an intelligent disciple. He was smart. He was studied. He's going to write things down. He's going to take notes. Pretty credible. So, Luke writes this down about what happened on the day of Pentecost. The day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on humanity. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. In other words, the disciples and those who, you know, sought the Lord, they would meet together regularly, daily, for prayer. They would go off, and they would pray together, and then they'd go about their day. Maybe they'd come back at night. I don't know. But they were getting together daily. So they were all together praying in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Okay, the sound of the mighty rushing wind filled the inside of the house. It's starting to sound a little like not normal. And divided tongues as of fire that appeared and rested on each of them. Sound of rushing wind, entering into the house. It happened abruptly, suddenly, and now they're looking around the room and they see like a little flame. How Luke describes it, as if it was a flame resting on each of them. I mean, I don't know, maybe that's not supernatural to you. Maybe that's just how it is at your house. And divided like tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability or the utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem when this happened, Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. At the sound of this, people started to come together from outside. Out of their houses or on the street, they started to, it's just a group of people. Something's going on that's different. We're hearing this. Now, check this out. They came together and they were bewildered. What in the world is going on? This isn't normal. This is something extraordinary. What is happening? Somebody explain this. They're bewildered. Because each one of the followers of Christ that had the Holy Spirit come upon them, they were speaking not in their own language. And the people who were gathering together, they were amazed and astonished because many of them were visiting, and it goes on to tell you different parts of the places that these people came. They came because they were bewildered, and they thought, are not, and you can look this up in the passage, it says, are these men not Galileans? Well, yeah, they are. Then how come they're speaking my native language from where I'm from? You see, because they weren't speaking their regular language. Now, understand that those who the Holy Spirit came upon and baptized in the Holy Spirit began to speak in other tongues. It's not like they lost their regular language. It's that the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak another language. And there were people there visiting from out of town that went, wait a minute. That guy's a Galilean. How in the world does he know my language from way back home? And they're bewildered. Now, there's other people who lived there. And they didn't know that they were speaking somebody else's language. They just said, hey, they're just babbling. And they began to mock. It's amazing what we mock that we don't understand. It's not normal. It's not cool. Seems weird. Let's be cynical. Let's mock. Ha, ha, ha. I want to stay in the status quo, and I want to stay where, you know, I feel a little safe, and any weird thing, ha, 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 don't. So let's discredit it and make it look bad so that we don't all have to do this. I don't have to be close to this. Let's make fun of it. Let's criticize it. Because we don't understand it. And so they made fun and said, ah, they're just filled with new wine. They're drunk. Look at them. Because they were kind of acting like they were a little inebriated. I like what the scripture says, don't be drunk on wine, but rather be filled or inebriated with the Holy Ghost. This is that. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Not under the influence of whatever else there is. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because then we think like God and act like God and empowered to do things like God does. All comes from Him. So this is going on. And they're wondering what's going on. And Peter stands up and he begins to tell them what is happening. He begins to explain it, and he reaches back into the Old Testament, and he brings forth prophecies, and he brings forth Scripture and explains it. And this is what's also amazing. The crowd starts to cry out, what must we do to be saved? What must we do? 3,000 people. 3,000 people at one time converted and put their faith in Christ over something that showed up that wasn't natural. It was supernatural. I want to take this morning and I want to tell you the truth. Okay, obviously. I'll tell you the truth. And I want us to grasp how practical. One of the practical things about this supernatural thing. So that we don't walk out and go, oh, that's scary, that's weird, and I'm never, you know, coming back. And it's not that I want to keep you here. It's up to you where you want to go, but I want us to embrace the full Scripture. We don't get to go, I like that, that makes sense, I'll believe that Scripture. Oh, that one? Well, that was for then. I can still live how I want. Oh, that relationship the Bible says is not right. Well, that was their culture. We're smarter here. So this relationship I'm in is okay. Or this attitude, well, I have special circumstances. The Lord approves of me having this attitude. We don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to say, that one makes me uncomfortable, so therefore I don't have to believe it or obey it. Listen, this is the full counsel of God. It's the same Holy Spirit who wrote this and inspired it that lives in your life and who was outpoured on the day of Pentecost and enabled people to speak in tongues. Why did that happen? I'm not going to exhaust the topic, but I will tell you this. It was an outward sign that the Holy Spirit had come upon them that Jesus talked to them about. How do we know when the power came on us? Well, we spoke in tongues. We were baptized with power. Now, I want you to know the day of Pentecost, this is hard, I don't want you to confuse it. The day of Pentecost was about the baptism of power. That God's Spirit would come upon us and He would be able to empower us to live different. He would empower us to stand on our own two feet in the faith because we're weak. Empower us to do so. And be a testimony of Him, empower us to do those things and to do works of ministry, that miracles and the supernatural could be released through our life because of His Spirit, because we can't do it on our own. We're supposed to carry out the ministry of Jesus because, you know, He left. And so His Holy Spirit was come to help us and empower us to carry on the ministry of Jesus. We want to go to church with Jesus. So, what was the physical sign? There's a lot of signs that the Holy Spirit gave them power, but the initial physical evidence that the Holy Spirit came upon them, okay, it wasn't the wind or the flame. It was something that had to prove that there was a change. And what they did is they spoke in tongues in a language they did not know and do not understand. That's not normal. It's not natural. Supernatural. The Spirit of the Lord empowered them to do and overcome themselves and do the works of ministry. What was the initial sign? That they spoke in tongues. That's how they knew that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. Now, if we continue to travel along here, because some say, well, that was for the day of Pentecost. That's what the Holy Spirit did. He did it for them, and that's it. That's it. It's over. Then why is it, several chapters later, when the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, but his name got changed, and now we know him as, you know, he was the one that was stoning, approving of people being stoned and going out and persecuting the church. Well, then he has this experience with Jesus. Jesus shows up and interrupts him while he's on his way to another place to persecute the church. You find it in Acts chapter 9. And Saul, Paul, falls to the ground. He hears the voice of Jesus saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" Those around him, they weren't sure what was going on. They knew something supernatural happened. Saul gets up off the ground and he's blind. And the Lord speaks to another man and says, "I'm sending you to this guy." And he goes, "What? He persecutes Christians. I'm sending you. I prepared. I'm working on him." So at that point, they take Saul and they bring him to his home. And he was there for 3 days. Okay? And this man, Ananias, prayed for him. And things like scales fell off his eyes, and he could see. That's not normal. And Ananias prayed for him, and that's what happened to Paul. And it says in that chapter that then Paul was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he began to, how do we know he was baptized in the Holy Spirit? How do we know? Because he spoke in tongues. He spoke in a language he didn't understand. That was the physical sign that he was baptized in power. Listen, Pentecost is not about tongues. It's about a baptism of power that comes from the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person. And when we don't quench him or grieve him or tell him no, God is rising up in our life to empower us that though we look the same and we talk the same and people hear us and call us by the same name, our conduct, our attitude, our outlook, all these things in life begin to change. We're transformed by this power. He renews our thinking that we think different. And by the Spirit, because the Spirit knows the mind of God, the Holy Spirit in us reveals to us the will of God, the mind of God, that now we start to choose different. Unless our will, we allow to step in and go, no, I still want to do this my way. Or we hit panic mode, and rather trusting obeying, we take it into our own hands because that's been our tendency for a long time. And now we interject our thought, our will, and what we think is wise rather than the mind of God. Then we got to come back and go, I'm sorry. I don't want to grieve and quench the Holy Spirit anymore. I want God to be living through me. I want to become like Him. How is that power proven in our life? We're transformed, we change, but the baptism of power also has a physical sign. And the initial physical evidence that they've received the baptism of power is that they spoke in tongues. And if it was just for that day, it would not have happened to Paul chapters later. Let me tell you this. Acts chapter 19, Paul shows up to a place, and he's talking to about 12 men in all. You'll find it in Acts 19. And he says to them, hey, you're believers. Okay, great. What baptism did you receive? And they say, we received the baptism of John, which is water baptism. I confess my sin. I want to die to myself. And I want to be raised in Christ. And I want to follow Jesus. Right? Forgive me of my sins, cleanse me and forgive me. And one of the outward signs that says I'm going to be a devoted follower of Jesus, my faith is real, it's engaged, is I go and I get water baptized. Okay? That's what happens. He says, we were water baptized. And then Paul says, I'm paraphrasing, great. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they're like, we haven't even heard of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he says, oh, we don't know. They say, we don't know about it. He says, okay. And what transpires is he prays and lays hands on each of them. There's about 12 men in all. And as he lays hands on them and prays for them, they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you know how we know that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? The initial physical evidence showed up that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you know what they did? Of course you do. They spoke in tongues and prophesied, Scripture says. They spoke in tongues. Do you see the theme here? The evidence, the initial physical evidence that they were filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit is tongues. Now, some of you in this room say, hey, I've got the Holy Spirit and I don't speak in tongues. Whoa. Then act like the Spirit's in you. Okay? There is a difference between indwelling and infilling. The Holy Spirit was working on all of us long before we ever professed Jesus as our Savior. He's so great. I mean, He is so full of grace. He's been working on our life long before we even recognized Him. He loves you so much. I'm just telling you, He loves you so much. He's gone to great extents for us. He cares about you. He's been working on your heart and trying to soften you from this life that has made us hard and bitter, like giving up. Facing things we don't understand. He's been working on us because He cares about you. And so, at the point we profess Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He's active in our life. He lives in us. He dwells in us. But in dwelling is different than in filling. When I've talked about this once before, I brought up a glass and put some water in. I said, there's water in it. It dwells in there. And then I poured more water in till it overflowed. And now I said, it was filled. In filling of the Spirit, a baptism of power. Listen, those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make them more spiritual than other people. So those of you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't think for a moment that you can't grieve the Holy Spirit, quench the Holy Spirit, turn from the Holy Spirit, and lose your way in the end. He will not let you go easy, but if you exercise your will, and somebody who's never baptized in the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit, you know, indwells their life, and they stay faithful to God, and they're open to the baptism, they're pursuing God, and maintain their relationship with Him, and the rapture comes or they pass away, they're going to be with Him. They're saved. But this baptism of power is important. Listen, He wrote this. It's His plan. Okay? Listen, Paul writes things in many of the letters in the New Testament. He says things like this to believers. He says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Really? Why does he do that? Why does he pray in tongues? See, Paul writes, he says, nobody knows the mind, your mind, except the Spirit within you. Nobody knows what you're thinking right now. Well, your spouse might have a guess because they know you pretty well. But listen, what you're thinking about right now, the only person that knows what you're thinking about right now is the Spirit within you. Right? So it is with God. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. We don't know the thoughts of God unless the Holy Spirit reveals God's thoughts to us. This is beautiful, by the way. This is beautiful. Get this. We can know, you can know the thoughts of God. Yes, by reading the Scripture, but the Holy Spirit has to explain it and give revelation to us. So, otherwise they're just words and we don't get it. He reveals it to us. The Holy Spirit, just like our spirit knows our thoughts, the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. And because the Holy Spirit fills our life, guess what? We can know God's thoughts. We can know His will. We can know His purpose. How cool is that? You could say some really great things. Well, we know where they came from. They came from the Spirit because those words were like God's words. No offense. Those things can't come out of my mouth or yours because we're not that smart. Wow. Wow. And they come forth with this power, this anointing. Because the Holy Spirit does it. It's the mind of God. Listen, it's a beautiful thing. It's a marvelous thing. What a grace and mercy that you can know God's thoughts. What to do in a circumstance. What to do in a situation. The power to restrain you and me from what we want to do opposed to what God would have us do. See? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he writes, do not quench, grieve the Holy Spirit. Understand, when the Holy Spirit fills our life, we still have a will. I can say no to Him. I can say no to Him. I can say yes to Him. I can say, well, kind of. I'll do a little bit of that. But the rest I'm going to do. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. And of course, you're God who's gracious. You always want me comfortable. Where's that written? See, God wants to empower us. And one of the initial physical signs of that baptism of power is speaking in tongues. Now, I want to share with you a really practical aspect of tongues itself that we may not quite grasp. Do you have that video ready? Yeah? Go ahead.
My new grandbaby, granddaughter, Evie, had just been born, and it was Saturday night and she was 3 days old, and I went over to see her and her mom and dad. Her mom and dad don't matter as much. I mean, the grandbaby's what matters. And on the way home, driving from Tyler's house to my house, I had a sudden picture of my son as a single dad with his wife gone. And it captured me so hard, I just began to to pray. I'm old school. I was pleading the blood and just praying protection for my son and for his wife and for their daughter. The next morning, about 7 o'clock, I got a call from my son, and they were rushing my daughter-in-law to the hospital. When she got there, it looked bad. The prognosis wasn't good, and her blood pressure was super high, and her pulse rate was 157, and her pulse ox was super low. And as she hung on to life, I thought back to the night before, and that the Spirit had prompted me to pray. Then that afternoon, a pastor friend in town, Hugh and Katie Yarborough, Katie messaged me. And she said, "Pastor Rod, I've heard what's going on with Emily. And I got to tell you, I know you and I know your wife, Cindy. I know Tyler. I've never met his wife. But last night I couldn't sleep because the Holy Spirit was just tugging at my heart to intercede and to pray for Emily. And I want you to know I stayed up last night praying for her." The Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to Katie. Because the Holy Spirit knew what was going to happen and called us to prayer. 57 hours after she entered the CICU, Emily walked out of that hospital healed and whole, and she's healthy today. And I'm so thankful for people who pray.
Okay, here is one of the most marvelous practical things about this whole speaking in tongues business, okay? It's a supernatural thing, and it's not something we conjure up or make happen. It's supernatural. But I want you to know that in the life of the believer, this becomes a new norm. It's a natural thing, though it's supernatural. It's natural. Just like your life being changed when you come to faith in Christ, there's certain things now that are just natural the way you live. They seem to be natural now. It's been a new pattern, a new change, a new transformation. Well, the speaking in tongues becomes so natural. And here, and once again, Pentecost is about the baptism of power, but the sign always trips us up. And I just want to talk about one practical thing about the speaking in tongues. And we know that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us the mind of God. Okay? I want you to catch what the Apostle Paul writes here in Romans chapter 8, and it's verse 26. He says this, "Likewise, the Spirit," Holy Spirit, "helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes or prays through us groanings, words too deep. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit," or the mind of God, "because the Spirit intercedes," prays for, "the saints according to the will of God." This speaking in tongues business that the Holy Spirit gives us is a prayer language. Have you when we looked at this video, I mean, it is not normal for a person to stay up all night and pray for someone. I mean, I'm an orator. I am a man of words. And there have been nights that I have stayed up. It's happened in my life on different occasions. But there's a point where I've talked about something, and I don't know what else to say. I mean, even women could run out of words. I'm just messing with you. Make sure you're still awake at this late hour. Listen, this video, this testimony, a lady, she was prompted by the Holy Spirit to stay up and pray all night by the Holy Spirit. That this theme and this video selection is all on the baptism and speaking in tongues and this power and this prayer language. If the Spirit, like Paul writes, says prays through us for saints, for Christians, And the Spirit knows the perfect will of God, and I run out of words in my English language, or I don't know how to pray about something. I mean, have you ever run into, I don't know how to pray? I've had families come to me and say, different times and over different issues, people, I don't know how to pray about this. I don't know how to pray about this in my life. I don't know how to pray about, you know, this for them. Someone is, you know, in my family, they're 97 years old. They're in the hospital, and it doesn't look like they're going to make it. And should I pray for healing, or should I just pray that they go? What do I pray? Well, if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I can pray in tongues, and it's the Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God. I get to pray perfect prayers, perfect will of God for someone else. Now, Paul writes this. He says, I pray in tongues more than you all. He says this. He says, I pray intelligible words. In other words, in a language he understands. He still prays in his language. For us, I still pray in English. But then he says, I also pray in unintelligible words in the Spirit. In other words, I pray in this language God gave me. I don't know what I'm saying, but it's the Spirit who's praying through me the perfect will of God. Let me just give you this one practical little piece about the supernatural sign of a baptism. Is you get to pray, we can pray, the perfect will of God. And when I am praying in tongues and my mind is not engaged because I'm not having to think about what am I saying, like when I do in English, well, what am I going to say now and how do I say this and what do I say and I'm listening to my... I don't have any of that. I can pray unintelligible words. The Holy Spirit can pray through me, through you, even while I'm doing something else. Ladies, you know what it is to be busy in the kitchen and doing something and your kids come in or your spouse comes in and, you know, you're chopping up and doing stuff and you're carrying on a conversation with them and it's meaningful and sometimes you put it down and go, oh, okay, tell me more about that, or oh, you know, this or that, or it gets intriguing, or you say, just a moment, I need to stop this or I need to get this, and you do that. The Holy Spirit, none of what we do here is ever interrupts when we're praying the Holy Spirit. I can be talking with somebody, listening to somebody, and I'm praying for them. They don't know it. I'll just tell you, it happens to you all the time. It's just the perfect will of God. Can you imagine praying perfect prayers? I want you to know it's possible because the Holy Spirit prays through us. How practical, how beneficial, how powerful is that? See, when we think about the practice of that, our mind climbs over this barrier of that's not natural, that's not normal. We go, gee, that kind of makes sense. Wow, God's awesome. Instead of going, that's not normal, I'm not going to church with Jesus, that's uncomfortable, and all of a sudden we just got this wall built. Listen, you love his word and like his word and appreciate his word and it inspires you. I want you to know it's the same Holy Spirit that inspired them to write this. It's the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same Holy Spirit in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that enables believers to be baptized. Jesus baptizes us, and the Holy Spirit enables us to speak in tongues. Listen, you and I in this life, we need every supernatural divine bit of help from God that we can get. Don't be afraid about what you haven't known. And I will tell you this. I will not tell you the story, but I will tell you this. I did not know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was until after I received. I was young. The Holy Spirit came upon me. One of the things that happened in that church service is I began to speak in tongues. I didn't even know about it and found out afterwards that it's in his word. Wow. Holy Spirit praying through me doesn't all of a sudden take control of me and go and say stuff. He doesn't violate our will. I can say no to him, I can say yes to him, or I can listen to him or do what he tells me. My will. And that's why it's written in 1 Thessalonians, don't quench, don't stop the Holy Spirit. So this is what I want to tell you. Stand to your feet. You may, with the Holy Spirit, which relationship with you may need to wrap your mind around this a little more, your soul and your spirit, and say, whoa, okay. For some reason, tongues are still supernatural, a little different for me, but I get it, kind of. But I got to work through this with the Lord. You work through this with him. You get close to Jesus. You get close to God. You get close to the Holy Spirit. You start living life with him, not just going to church with him. You let him baptize you. I baptize people in water, but they're really baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's name. And I don't baptize anybody in the Spirit, because the only person that baptizes with the Spirit and with fire is Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. So we pray for one another. We can pray like Paul did for them. Lay hands and pray with somebody, and they may be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the evidence will be that they speak in tongues. But there will be a whole lot of other evidences that unfold in our life when we're baptized with power. So, this is what we're going to do. Because it's late. And I went long. But because of this topic, I just had to take the time. And so for that, I'm sorry I kept you late, but this is so important. I want your life to be so enriched with the Spirit of God and the supernatural power of God to live this life, to bring hope to other people, to allow the Spirit to pray through us, to be empowered to do the ministry of Jesus. That's the ministry that I've known and that I was touched by, that I was saved under. It all confirms his word. If it doesn't, it's not from him. So I want to tell you this. Any deacons who are here, or staff, or wives of deacons, you just come and stand across the front. Now listen, this is what I want to share with you. If today you're saying, I want to ask Jesus to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I want the power of God in my life. I want him to give me this prayer language so I can pray the perfect will of God instead of just my will. If that's what you desire, in just a moment, if you want to take time today and slip out of your seat and come and stand with these couples or these individuals and say, I just want Jesus to baptize me. I want the Holy Spirit to come upon me. I need him so much. I've been under the influence of so many different things at different periods of my life. I've been under my own influence. I just want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Then come and let them pray with you. And today, you might be baptized in the baptism of power. You might come for prayer, and I'll just tell you, maybe it won't happen today. My uncle, he went for prayer and never received, and the Holy Spirit filled him driving his Jeep on the way to work one day. How practical is that? This is what I want to tell you. If you don't have time today, and I'm careful when I say that, because I don't want to say like everything else is more important than this in our life. But I'm not going to either manipulate you and guilt you either in an ungodly manner, saying, if you don't come now, then you know that you're bad and you're leaving church. That's not it. What I want to tell you is this. If you don't come today, and I don't want you to put it off, but I don't want you to come. If you don't come today or spend a lot of time here today, this is not the only opportunity for you to be filled. If the opportunity is here and you feel like, man, this is what I want, I want to go get prayed with, then let it happen. If you say, I need to wrap my mind around this, I need to pray about this, I need to seek Jesus, or then leave here. But follow up on that. Talk to him about it. Pray to him. Look in the scripture. You can come to me any day of the week or on a Sunday or find anybody else and just say, you know what? I want Jesus to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Would you pray for me? It doesn't have to be on a day where I teach about Pentecost. It can happen anytime. But the point is this. Don't seek tongues. Seek Jesus, the baptizer of power. Don't get caught up, I got to get the sign. Just get Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit get you. And he'll fill you, and you will begin to speak a language, and it's going to sound foreign to your ears. And your intelligible mind's going to kick in and go, oh. And you go, hey, there's a new norm. And you allow it to happen. And when it happens to you, wherever you're at, you start to speak it loud enough that you can hear it. Don't hold back. Don't shrink back. Just let him do it. You can't speak two languages simultaneously out of your mouth. So whenever you want to be prayed for, now, today, another day, whenever, just remember, you got to stop praying in English and let him fill you. It says in the scripture, it'll be like a stream of living water that bubbles up within us. You ever have one of those bubbly drinks? They say, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all over the place. Spills over the side. That's what, I'm just telling you, that's what happens. You're just, all of a sudden, let it go. I've tried to put my hand over the thing. It leaks, and then I get outside, and I'm wearing it. I want to pray for all of us. And if you want to seek Jesus and the baptism of the Spirit, you can come today. And if it doesn't happen and you want to stay a half hour, you can. If you want to go after a few minutes, you can. I'm just telling you, as God tarries, there will be more opportunity. You can come to us anytime and say, you know, I want to talk to you about the baptism. I don't want you to pray for me, but I want you to talk to me a little bit more about it. Here's some questions I have. You know what? That's okay. You get closer to Jesus. Go to church with Jesus. Live life with Jesus. Because he said it in Mark, one of the signs that follow believers is they shall speak in new tongues.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.